opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
How do you like the new bumper music? I like it. What do you think? It's good stuff. Here on the Mark Harrington Show, folks, you can go to createdequal.org, click on the radio icon, and you can listen to the Mark Harrington Show 24/7 on your mobile device, on Podbean, or iTunes. And, of course, over the air here on WRFD every Saturday at 1:30. The Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist and voice of resistance. And folks, we're going to be talking about something today that, you know, I don't know if the casual Christian to politics is really up on. And so I might be speaking to a smaller segment of my audience, but it's something that, you know, I bring up on occasion. And that is the debate between those who believe in incremental steps of ending abortion and those who believe that there should be a total and immediate end. And they only call for that kind of thing and they don't work towards chipping away at it. Now, honestly, there is really very little debate. There are a few that, like myself, who support the immediate and total end of abortion. But I don't do it at the exclusion of chipping away at it as well. So, I mean, it's really a settled question within the movement, mostly. There are those that hold that you should only call for a total immediate end and will decry any incremental attempts to end it because they believe that's in some ways compromising and not, I guess, being obedient to God's word that abortion is murder. And we'll get into that a bit. But here's the deal. Incrementalism basically is this. They believe that if you pass legislation, you can chip away at Roe versus Wade. You can slowly but surely roll back legal abortion. Now, we've seen that, frankly. I mean, in the last 43 years and more recently in the state legislatures where there has been law passed, many laws passed that are chipping away. Slowly but surely, rolling back abortion on demand. Now, the good thing about that is that there are actual laws. I mean, they're in place. They are saving babies. Nobody can dispute that. There's been several surveys or studies done, one specifically done by a professor at the University of Michigan, Michael New, who looked at all the laws that have been passed and kind of tried to figure out whether these had saved lives. And the fact of the matter is they have. They just have. I mean, there's just really little argument amongst those in the movement that these laws have actually saved babies. So the good thing is they actually do save babies. They are law. They do hold up constitutionally. And there is a tide that is happening across the country where these laws are being put into effect, mostly on the state level, but some at the national level. Now, that's incrementalism. Slowly but surely chip away at Roe to basically, you know, eventually make it null and void. In the hopes that a law would come to the United States Supreme Court that would give the justices an opportunity to rule that Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional and then returned that back to the state legislatures where they could then ban abortion outright if they chose to. I mean, that's the process that incrementalists hope for. And then eventually being able to pass a human life amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which takes three-fourths of the state legislatures and two-thirds of the Congress to happen, which is a hard thing to make happen. It's a high bar, but that is the goal of the incrementalist. Now, the negative side to that view is this, that it basically recognizes Roe versus Wade as a federal issue and not a state's rights issue. It federalizes abortion. It says that, okay, Roe v. Wade, we're going to work within that construct. I think that's a negative. It enshrines abortion, basically, as a constitutional right, despite the fact that myself and others call a Roe v. Wade unconstitutional, yet support incrementalist laws. It does, in a sense, say that abortion is basically here. This is the way it is. Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, so to speak. I disagree that it should be, but that is the fact of the matter, and these people are realists. They work with what they've been given. The negative side of it doesn't attempt to ban abortion outright. It just regulates it. It tries to make it more difficult to procure, to commit. I think that's a bad thing. I think we need to go at the root of the problem. And it lacks the urgency necessary to end the killing. This is a genocide, a Holocaust, and we need to treat it as such. And finally, and this is, I think, one of the worst negatives, and that is that it relies on changing the United States Supreme Court. Which, folks, I mean, let's have a heart to heart here. Let's have a come to Jesus moment. All right, here it is. It's a failed strategy. It hasn't worked. You can blame it on a lot of things: getting the wrong president who nominates the wrong kind of justices, or what have you. Or the idea that stare decisis, which is that we follow precedent as far as law, has basically been the way justices have operated, whether they're strict constructionists or liberals. They basically believe in stare decisis, and that's been a problem even with conservative justices. But the idea of changing the United States Supreme Court has been a failure. I don't think we can look at it any other way, even though people are continuing to try to do that. And I say, okay, fine, go ahead if you like, but realize that, you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I mean, that's kind of the definition of insanity, isn't it? Right now we have a 4-4 breakdown in the United States Supreme Court. It's deadlocked. And by all intents and purposes, it sure looks like it might get worse. If Obama gets his guy in office, that's Merrick Garland, it'll be a 5-4 on the liberal side. And in my view, we've lost the court for a generation. The fact of the matter is, look at history. The GOP, that grand old party, the Republicans have controlled the White House for 23 out of the 43 years since Roe v. Wade. So they've had a majority of the control of the White House, which, of course, nominates Supreme Court justices. You would think out of that time that they would have control of the court, at least marginally. Well, I mean, there's been some good appointments. Antonin Scalia, I would say Samuel Alito's a good one, and Clarence Thomas, for no question, are all good ones. I don't know. Justice Roberts, I think the jury's out on that guy. He's made some bad rulings. But here's the deal. Republican presidents have put on the court liberals. George Bush the First put on David Souter, who helped us get Casey versus Planned Parenthood in 1992. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, put up by Ronald Reagan, was the deciding vote in Casey, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which basically put in stone Roe v. Wade. It changed it a bit, throwing out the trimester rule and giving us the so-called undue burden test. But there are two justices nominated by Republican presidents, one of them Ronald Reagan. George Bush the first gave us Anthony Kennedy, who still sits on the court, and it was considered the main swing vote for many of these decisions. Then we've got Justice Roberts, George W. Bush put up, but he gave us Obamacare. So even if we go with this idea that you put Republicans on in the White House to nominate conservative, strict constructionists to the court, it hasn't turned the court our direction. Here's four examples of Republican nominees that clearly did not hold to a strict constructionist interpretation of the U.S. Constitution. So that's the negative. That's the negative on the side of the incrementalist. Now, let me just say this. I'm a kind of an and both guy. I think we need to fire on all cylinders. Here's why. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know for sure which one's going to work in the end. I think you work both. I support many incrementalist types of approaches to ending abortion. I don't get behind many, but when I do, you know, they're few and far between, mainly because we're not really a political organization. We're really an educational foundation who deals with just changing hearts and minds. But when I do involve myself in politics, I pick and choose the type of incrementalist, if you want to call it that, gradualist laws. But that's not to the exclusion of supporting other things, which are an immediate or total attempt to end abortion. And I'm behind those as well. But I'm very limited in my time and money, so that's important. I can't do it all, right? So I've got to pick and choose, and I pick and choose on the other side too. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And before we go to the break, here's what I want to do. I'm going to play a clip. This is from a legislator, a story out of Oklahoma. Senator Silk has introduced a bill to ban abortion outright, calling abortion murder and criminalizing abortion. Now, this isn't the first time it's been done. It's been done before. We'll talk about that the other side. But here's this news report from Oklahoma, Senate Bill 1118.
Senator Silk says he's aggravated. He's frustrated that Bill 1118 hasn't even gotten a hearing yet on the Senate floor. He now has less than 24 hours to fight for the idea that life begins at conception.
And at 10 weeks, just at 10 weeks, those kids, they look like babies. They have feet, fingers, toes, everything.
If it becomes law, Bill 1118 would allow for no exceptions to abortion, no age-related distinctions, and calls the procedure a homicide.
When you take that life, it's classified as first-degree murder. Whoever performs the abortion that intentionally kills that human embryo.
But what about when the life of the mother is at stake? It still wouldn't make it legal.
Even worst case scenario of a ruptured fallopian tube, there's a procedure that can keep that mother completely fine.
Well, there you go. That's the representatives, our Senator Silk from Oklahoma introducing Senate Bill 1118. It's not the first time it's been done, but it's making waves. And on the other side, I'll talk about the total or immediate, some people call it, abolition or ending of abortion. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show, your voice of resistance. We'll be right back.
Troy Newman talks about why he supports Mark Harrington and Created Equal.
You know, to me, Mark Harrington is more than just a friend of 20 years. He's a colleague that blends kind of this rare expression of passion and intelligence. And it's locked in, and he's tuned in to the young people, the people who don't know Christ, don't understand the pro-life message. You know, the other thing I love about Mark and Created Equal is they think strategically. They've got a long-term vision. to turn the pro-life movement over to the next generation, to use the tactics of this day and age, to think ahead of what the next tactic is going to be, and use it for long-term impacts to ultimately win this battle. We're here to win because winning is how the killing stops. We're not here just to perpetuate a job, and Mark isn't here just to continue to have a job. I think Mark's a lot like me. We want to work ourselves out of a job, win this battle, and then go on to something else, like raise our families.
All right, you're back here at the Mark Harrington Show. We're talking about Senate Bill 1118, an Oklahoma law, or bill. It's not a law yet. Probably won't become one anytime soon, unfortunately. We'll talk about that in a minute. This isn't anything new, folks. I mean, there have been abortion bans introduced in legislatures across America in the past. We did it here in Ohio in 2006, and I was at the forefront of that, helping Tom Brinkman, Representative Tom Brinkman from the State House, House of Representatives, introduce HB 228 in 2006. And no one had done anything close to this ever before in the country when we introduced the Ohio abortion ban, HB 228. Now, because it was new, I mean, we barely got a hearing. Things have changed. You can say what you want about the heartbeat bill, but if it weren't for us laying the groundwork for a total and immediate end to abortion in Ohio, the heartbeat bill would have never seen the light of day. It just wouldn't have. And the reactions to the heartbeat bill are the same from Right to Life and the RINOs, Republicans in name only, in our state house and across the country, and other pro-lifers. They're the same, whether it's in a total abolition of abortion or immediate call to the and calling it murder or whatever, or the heartbeat bill. It basically has the same kind of opposition. Why? Because they're both going to be found unconstitutional by the federal courts. And because of it, the same arguments are made, right? That it's unconstitutional. It's going to cost us money to defend it. You're going to have us tied up in court paying lawyers, which gives money to the abortion industry. It's going to get struck down anyway. Why bother? It'll strike down other laws. These are the arguments we hear, but we went ahead with it anyway in 2006. And 5 years ago, we introduced the heartbeat bill. Same opposition from Right to Life. Same opposition to Right to Life. Now, here's the positives of an abortion ban like we had here in HB 228 in 2006, and then this SB 1118 in Oklahoma by Senator Silk, introduced by Senator Silk. And that is, first of all, it calls for a total and complete end to abortion. That's a good thing. We're treating it like murder. And therefore, we're honoring the prohibition against the shedding of innocent blood without compromise or exception that is enshrined in God's word in the Sixth Commandment. So it honors God because we're calling for the complete, total end to abortion. It's a good thing. And that's how abortion should be treated. It treats it as a states' rights issue rather than a federal question, which it is. There is no right to abortion in the U.S. Constitution, despite what Roe v. Wade supposedly provides women. The right to privacy is nowhere to be found. There is no right to abortion. Therefore, the 10th Amendment should apply, and it should fall back to the state legislatures for the people to decide. So it's rightly a states' rights issue, and therefore the states should have the right, obligation, duty to end murder in their own state. And it's biblical, because the Bible says that murder is a local issue. It falls to the people closest to the crime. We understand that in Deuteronomy. So it's a local issue. We should be challenging the federal government. We should be basically saying, we never recognized Roe. Roe is an unjust law. It's unconstitutional, and we don't recognize it. We're going to defy it. I agree with that. And it sets up a so-called constitutional challenge, which is a good thing. I think at this point, and really from the beginning, we should have been doing that. It is a states' rights versus federal issue. And the separation of powers matters. And that is, the legislature makes law, judiciary interprets the law, but the judiciary does not make law, and the legislative should not interpret law. Now, here's a speech I gave a couple of years ago. Now, I know it's about the heartbeat bill, but again, keep this in mind. The reaction from Right to Life and the establishment pro-life movement and the rhinos is the same whether you try to ban abortion outright altogether total or you pass a heartbeat bill, which still has the same unconstitutional issues that an abortion ban does. It gets treated the same. This is me a couple of years ago, 2011, at the State House in Columbus.
We rightly decry judicial activism in America, don't we? We don't want judges to be legislators. But we don't want legislators to be judges either. Right? The separation of powers has been flipped on its head in this state by this Senate because they say before this has ever been passed or even given a vote that it's unconstitutional. That's not their role. That's not their role. What these legislators have forgotten is that it's Roe v. Wade that's unconstitutional, not the heartbeat bill. Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional. And those that bend the knee to the worst ruling in United States history are no better than the ones that wrote it. They're no better.
Well, there you go. You could insert abortion ban in for a heartbeat bill, and it's the same deal. The courts would find it unconstitutional. That is a fact. It is. But again, I'm for both. It's an and both. I don't think we need to pick and choose which we support. But we should be going for the immediate end to abortion. Now, here's the negative sides of it, or at least you could see it as challenges, let's say. If you're going to propose an SB 111 or 1118 or HB 228 like we did in Ohio in 2006, you got to know what you're facing. And here it is. If that's all you're going to do and you're not going to agree with incrementalist attempts to chip away at Roe v. Wade, which save babies, and you're going to say, oh, that's all compromise, and you're just sold out to the pro-life movement, and you're an establishment person, you're doing it for money, you really don't want to end abortion. That's what I hear, by the way, from some people. They say that. Well, we don't really want to. No, that's not true. We do. We're just realists. We know the cards that have been dealt us, and we work within that. But at the same time, we're trying to go to the problem, the root of it. But here's the thing. If you only agree that, only believe that we should pass or try to pass immediate or total bans on abortion, you are going to be sacrificing some babies' lives that could be saved now for the possibility of saving all of them later. And that's a very remote possibility, I'd say, under our current situation in our country as it regards federalism. And that is that the federal government just has so much power, that's the truth, that you're not going to get it done in the current situation. It's just not happening. The second thing is it's an all-or-nothing strategy, and I don't think that's the only way to go. I think we should be saving as many babies as we can along the way to the total and immediate end to abortion. That's what I believe. And it's not. It's just not realistic. I mean, I understand what the Bible says. Abortion's murder. I get it. I understand that we need to obey God rather than man. I am on that same page. But God gave me a brain to understand what I'm being dealt with here. And I've got to work with that brain and just not simply say, oh, if I'm obedient to God, then all of a sudden it's going to end. No, that isn't how it operates here. Yes, we should be obedient to God. Yes, we should believe he can bring it to an end. Yes, he can provide miracles. He can change hearts. He can bring about the end of abortion. But at the same time, we got to be smart about it. We got to be smart about it. The fact is, the courts will be all over this thing. They're going to enjoin it, right? They're going to find it unconstitutional. unconstitutional. And here's my question to those who only believe in the total and immediate end of abortion, won't work with an incrementalist. Here's the deal. You got to find a governor. You got to find a representative House or Senate. And you got to find an attorney general who's going to pass the law and enforce it and tell the federal government that they're not going to abide by the rules, by Roe versus Wade, which sets up a constitutional crisis. And ultimately, isn't the federal government going to bring in the National Guard? Aren't they going to keep the abortion mills open? Truth of the matter is, that's it. They are. That's what they do. And you've got to be able to deal with those issues. I know I've dealt with a lot today. We'll talk about this more in programs coming ahead. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.